Welcome this morning to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Also, I want to let you know about the special theme for this year of 2021. Each one, reach one. And we got the new banner here. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. So we'll be talking about that today in the message and for the weeks to come and throughout this year in some part, as we each one recognize the opportunity God gives us to reach one. So looking forward to that. Stay tuned on that. And we look forward to our time together today. And through this year, this can be a blessed year as we follow the Lord and honor Him in this world and share our faith. Matthew chapter 4. I sure appreciate you joining with us today. Appreciate those joining us online once again. And we want to be a help and a blessing to you in the Lord. And we endeavor, I as the pastor, endeavor to faithfully preach God's word and to seek the Holy Spirit's direction. And I am thankful that you have chosen to join us, whether you're joining us live right now or whether you'll be listening later today or later this week. We want to challenge you to obey the Lord and to let the Holy Spirit work in your life. And as we talk about reaching other people for Jesus, each one reach one in 2021, there sometimes is some fear that'll grip your spirit. Like, how could I ever do that? You know, how could I? Nah, that's just too scary for me. Well, you just obey God. You just let God be your helper. Go ahead and memorize Isaiah 41, verse 10. That's in our bulletin. And even if you're at home there, you don't have the bulletin, but go ahead and mark that. Write that down right now, Isaiah 41:10, and work on memorizing that this week. That will be a help to you to really get your eyes on the Lord and how we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be dismayed. God says, I am with you. I am your God. I will help thee. How good is that? I know I'm nothing. He is everything. And so as we approach this, it's just sharing the hope and the love that we have in Jesus. And God will help us in our lives to be a light in this dark world. All right? So we'll jump into the passage here in Matthew chapter 4. And let's start with verse 17. Just to give you a little bit of background, in the beginning, in the end of chapter 3, Jesus has just begun his earthly ministry. He's been baptized. He followed the Lord. He was obedient and pleasing to his Father, and he came to John to be baptized. And that's in the end of chapter 3. Then in chapter 4, he faced the great temptation from the devil and won victoriously. He was able not to sin. And he was wise in his responses to temptation by using what's at our disposal as well, which is the Word of God. That's what he used to defeat the enemy and to speak truth in the hour of temptation. All right? And then we come to where he is now, and he's going to call some disciples to follow him, call some people to follow him. Now, if you had been a businessman, a fisherman, as these four that Jesus is calling in this passage, would you have responded in the way that these men did? Consider the passage, verse 17. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach. Amen. We could just stop right there and bless the Lord. From this time, Jesus began to preach. And to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn from these examples 2,000 years ago of regular people, simple, hardworking men who left what was a hindrance at that time and responded to your word and followed you and became faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus, who went on to truly fish for men, to bring many to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to bring others to Christ in this year, that each one of us would be able to reach one. Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we pray for our nation at this time. We know that there is much turmoil and unrest. Lord, we know that there are many sad things. There are many difficult things. Lord, we pray for your mercy at this time. We pray for your intervention in the challenges that we face. Lord, with the virus, I pray for your care and your help for those who are ill, for those who are facing the difficulties, for healthcare workers in certain areas of our country that are very strained during this time. Lord, I pray that there would be hope in these challenging times as people would look to Jesus. Help us as your people to shine the light in dark places. And Father, we do also pray that truth would prevail in our land. We pray that truth would triumph. Lord, that you would be merciful to us. Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Father, I pray that if you should tarry your coming, that our children would be able to serve you faithfully. But Lord, we just pray and ask that you would accomplish your will on earth as it is in heaven. Deliver us from evil. Thank you that yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Each one, reach one. Here at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, he begins to preach. And you know, his ministry really ended up being relatively short, 3.5 years. But here he is at the onset, at the beginning, as he is about 30 years of age now. And as he goes here by the Sea of Galilee, he calls to these men, these Jewish men who were engaged in a fishing business. These first two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and then James and John, also brothers. And so we see how he calls them. He calls out to them and he says, follow me. Now, I don't know how much, how familiar they were at this time with Jesus, but I think that their interest had been piqued by some, perhaps, of what they already heard from his preaching. As he preached and said, repent, repent, turn from sin. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Can you hear him? Can you imagine the Lord Jesus beginning? I don't think the crowds were that big at this time. It was just along the way and maybe a group here, and he would proclaim truth, and he would call people to turn from sin. And he had already, by coming to John the Baptist to be baptized, he was identifying with John's ministry. He was giving his approval to what John was preaching. And John had been going through the area preaching to repent and turn from sin. The Messiah is coming. He's commanded me to prepare the way for him. And John proclaimed with a holy boldness, the word of God. And as Jesus came now, I have to think that Peter and Andrew and James and John were wondering. They were curious. Who is he? Who is Jesus? Who is this one? Is he the Messiah? And he comes along. They're fishing. They're James and Peter and Andrew. They were casting their net, verse 18, into the sea. This is what they did for a living. This wasn't just a hobby. This is how they paid the bills. They sold the fish. They had a business. They had things invested in their business. They had invested in nets. They had invested in ships. They had invested in all these things. And Jesus comes to them and he says, follow me. Hey guys, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they're like, they leave their nets. The Bible says straightway, verse 20. Straightway, that's right away. They left their nets and followed him. And then he calls here to James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And they're with their father, mending in the ship and mending their nets. And he calls them and they immediately left the ship. They left their father. There are things you're going to need to leave if you're going to follow Jesus and do his will. There are things you're going to leave. This wasn't bad. Having a fishing business wasn't bad. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing sinful with it. It's everything right about having a business, everything good about being a hard worker and all of those things, having a family business with your dad, James and John. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes the call of God causes us to need to leave some things so that we might do the will of God. If God were to call you, and it meant leaving something that has been your livelihood, it meant leaving something that has been, paying the bills for you or whatever, something that's been a major part of your daily life and survival, are you willing to say, Lord, to follow you and do your will, I'll leave this. This wasn't wrong, it's not sin necessarily, but I can see you calling me to something else, to really follow you and do your will. And so that, I can see, is sometimes the case, that we are needing to leave something like that. I think of the Nortons we just read. Brother Norton left things to follow the Lord. In Kyrgyzstan, they served for a long time. In Italy and now Slovenia, he has left things. He has taken his children and his wife into dangerous regions at times because he was serving the Lord and wanted to bring those souls to Jesus. And so, what have you left to do the will of God? Well, as we move along, let's think about the greatest thing you and I can do in 2021. What is the greatest thing we can do in 2021? We're already half a month into this year, 2 weeks, and marching on. The greatest thing we could do is lead another person to the Savior. It really is. Lead another soul to the Savior. Is there any greater cause to live for than to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those in need? Is there any greater calling than to be a servant of God and to spread the message of Christ? God calls some to be preachers and pastors and deacons and all of that, but God calls others to in different areas of ministry to shine the light of Christ, whether it be the mother and the homemaker, whether it be the nurse or the doctor, whether it be the farmer, the surgeon, whatever the case may be, we could name 100 different areas of occupation, but you know what? The greatest thing we can do is serve Christ with every day of our life and shine the light of Christ, whether that's as the physician, whether that's as the truck driver, whether that's as the medical worker, whatever the case may be, we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Lead another soul. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, in fact, I invite you to turn over there to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Please notice verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a blessing? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And of course, in the verses preceding, it talked about in verse 9, confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in our heart, right, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the vein here is the gospel and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for our sin. This is how people can be saved. People don't get saved by joining a church, although those who join a church should be saved. The New Testament church is made up of saved and baptized members, right? That's the church. Those who are saved and connected and plugged in. But you know what? You can't join a church to get saved. You could be a member of a church for 100 years. It wouldn't save you, right? Jesus is the only way of salvation. You could help lots of charities. You could volunteer your time. You could donate your wealth. You could do all those things. But that won't save you. Trusting Jesus will. But you know what? There are so many people who are blinded. There's so many people who are blinded by the God of this world, who would like to keep people off of the way of life, who would like to keep people from finding the salvation that is in Christ alone through faith alone. They would teach people about good works and trying to be a good person and following the rules and the dictates of the church and things like that, and giving that emphasis as if that's the way of salvation. But it's not. It's not. The way of salvation is in a person. His name is Jesus. And through the lack of understanding by many, could you help another soul to simply find Jesus? Could you help them walk through the confusion of religion and the confusion of many voices in this world? And could you pray for them and could you help another soul to the Savior? Notice verse 14. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they call to a God that they haven't believed in yet? How you know, somebody must teach them. And it goes on to say, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now that preacher doesn't necessarily have to be a preacher behind a podium like this morning. That preacher is a messenger that proclaims. This could be a nurse in the room, in the waiting room with family. This could be the nurse in the room with the patient. Whatever the case may be, right? This could be anybody who knows the Lord to be a messenger of the gospel. Verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Again, we think of mission work, sending people out to other places, sending them to take the message of the gospel. How are they going to be able to go unless we join together to help them? And that's why it's important for us to support missionaries financially and with prayer. And I'm thankful for the missionaries that Victory Baptist Church is able to support through the gifts of God's people, that we are able to, month by month, continue to send out those funds to be a help and a blessing, such as to the Norton family, whom we've supported for many years. I'm thankful for that. Even as a small church, a small work, we send out over $600 a month to missionaries, to mission work outside of our ministry. And I thank the Lord for those opportunities. But the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Beautiful feet. God says, those ministers of the gospel, those who serve me, those who carry the hope of Christ, those who tell people about Jesus, he says, they're beautiful. Their feet, those obedient feet, those feet that are willing to go, those feet are beautiful. Do you have beautiful feet? Recognize the need all around us. I looked up some statistics last night, and the 2020 census is not yet all into the system. But I looked up a few things. This is on Wikipedia, online, talking about North Dakota and religion down a little ways, religion in North Dakota. Let me read you a little bit. First of all, it says North Dakota has the most churches per capita of any state. Additionally, North Dakota has the highest percentage of church-going population of any state. Wow, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It goes on to say in this, it's actually getting this information from a 2001 survey. So 20 years old, you know, but it's what's the latest online right now, as far as I found. A 2001 survey indicated that 35% of North Dakota's population is Lutheran. 35%. 30% is Catholic. Other religious groups represented were Methodists at 7%, Baptists at 6%, the Assemblies of God at 3% of the population, Presbyterians at 1.27%, and the Jehovah's Witnesses at 1%. Christians with unstated or other denominational affiliations, including the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, totaled 3%. Bringing the total, well, what they say in the article, the total Christian population to 86%. There were an estimated 920 Muslims in the state in 2001, 730 Jews in the state in 2000, it says. 3% of respondents said they didn't have a religion, and 6% declined to answer the question. The largest church bodies by number of adherents in 2010 were the Roman Catholic Church with 167,379 members. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, has 163,209 members or adherents. And so we have here a bit of a picture. You know, I just want to point out the fact that there is a need all around us. I'm not seeking to, at this point, you know, single out any particular group, but I understand that many do not preach the gospel. Many do not preach salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is not a very common message. Even though we are, by all, you know, these indications, we're one of the most religious states, apparently, of some sort, right? But that doesn't mean that there aren't people who need Christ. Oh, friend, there are. Many people are religious, but lost. Religious, but lost. Would you look in your Bible? You got Romans 10 open, perhaps. Would you look back to chapter 9 of Romans? And consider verse 30. Verse 30. It's contrasting the Gentiles and the nation of Israel. All right? And I want you to see what it says in verse 30 and following. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of, help me now, faith. All right? Let's say that again. Even the righteousness which is of faith. So it says here in verse 30 that the Gentiles that didn't follow after righteousness, they weren't religious. They weren't the churchgoers. It says they found righteousness because they found it by faith. Okay? What an interesting a thought there. Verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness. In other words, they were, I'm putting it in a little bit of a modern term, you know, they were the churchgoers. They were the religious folk, okay? Now, obviously, they received the law from God. I mean, they had much more light, okay? They had the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, okay? But Israel, verse 31, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. So they had the scriptures. They had more light. They looked more godly in some ways, right? But they missed it. Verse 32, wherefore? Why? This is puzzling. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. We live in a state that has more churches per capita than any state. A state that has a higher percentage of church-going population than any other state in 2001. Well, that doesn't make us all saved, right? And so understand what the scripture is saying. Salvation is by faith in Jesus alone. And good, quote-unquote good, religious people can stumble right over that. Going to church, but depending on works and missing the reality of the Savior, who is the only way. All right? So there's a few statistics. I wanted to share a few more things. This is just a demographic, you know, a deal here of the population, which is about 760,000, at least on this particular information. In the state of North Dakota, 760,000 people. And it tells us here that in 50% basically of the people in our state live in the cities of 6,000 people or more. In other words, cities bigger than 6,000, such as Valley City, Watford City, Devil's Lake, Wahpeton, Jamestown, Mandan, Dickinson, Williston, West Fargo, Minot, Grand Forks, Bismarck, and Fargo. In those 13 cities that I just mentioned, 50% of the population lived there in, I think, 2001. So that means 50% are out in the rural areas, in the smaller communities like ours and like our surrounding areas, all right? In the smaller communities of 4,000 population or less, really. So there's people all around who need the Savior. And I want to give you one more statistic to put in your hat. This is from 2018, births in North Dakota. In other words, new babies born in North Dakota. 2018, there were 10,636 births in a year, in the year 2018. 10,636 births. This is estimating just a teeny bit because most people in Wells County aren't born here because it's not popular. But they may still live here. So there's about 55 births each year in Wells County. Of course, it's not literally in Wells County, but that's where they live. So 55 births. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, babies grow up under normal circumstances, and they need Jesus. They're born sinners. They're born ungodly, right? They're born speaking lies coming from the womb. And that's our sinful nature. So just thinking about this one example of children growing up. You know, and also a statistic here, about 1,000 in Wells County, about 1,000 children under the age of 18 live in Wells County. 1,000 children under the age of 18. So, I mean, as you see, in a 10-year period of time, 55 born each year, you get, you know, approximately 1,000, more than 1,000 in our vicinity, let alone the neighboring counties, which are not too far away, such as Sheridan to the west and Pierce to the north. And so the need is great. There are people who need the gospel. Yes, do some of these children grow up in a home where Jesus is loved and where the Bible is read and where they attend a church where there's a message of the gospel? Yes, there are cases like that. There certainly are. But there are, I'm sure, more cases where children are growing up not having a clear presentation of the gospel. Maybe some religious rhetoric, but not really the clear message of Christ. We're all sinners. We deserve the judgment of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave his life for you By faith alone in Jesus, you can be cleansed from your sin and have eternal life. How many children get to 10 years of age or 15 years of age or 18 years of age and have not really had a clear presentation of the gospel right around us? We must recognize the need is ongoing. Each one, reach one. I can see that I've taken more time on the beginning of the message than I had planned, but the need is great. And I'm going to make a little shift in my notes there, but I'm actually going to just challenge you with the 2021 plan. Okay? The 2021 plan. Can you just skip ahead to that slide, if you would? The 2021 plan. We'll pick up on this, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. But I want to leave you with the 2021 plan. You say, what is the 2021 plan? Because when you look at or write on your check or you know, write down the date, 2021, I want you to think of the 2021 plan. And I'm going to explain it to you. This is a prayer plan to pray for 5 people. To pray for 5 people who need Christ or who you're not sure if they know Christ. The first 2 is going to represent relatives. Relatives or close friends who need Christ. That's the first 2. And if you want to think of the 2, I was going to give this little illustration of somebody bowing in prayer. And I don't even know if I'm on camera, but you know, if you bow in prayer to pray, you kind of look like a number 2. So just remember, when you write the number 2, when you write the year, you're supposed to be praying daily for 5 people, 2 that are relatives or friends close to you. 0, who are we going to pray for on the 0? That's me, because I'm nothing, because I'm empty, and I can't do it without him. He must fill me, because I'm a 0, but with him, I can do his will. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so the 2021 plan. The next 2, after we've prayed for a close relative and neighbor, after we prayed for relatives or close friends, 2 of them that we're going to identify, 2 names that we're going to pray for. We're going to pray for ourselves because we need God. We're nothing, but he's everything. The next 2 is going to be 2 community members. Now you say, well, my neighbor is a community member, or, you know, whatever. My relative lives in town. That's fine. But we want to find 2 more people in our community that we're going to pray for. All right? And then the last one there, the number 1, is prayer for a coworker. Prayer for a coworker or a neighbor. Some maybe say, oh, well, I don't have a, you know, that kind of a job where I actually have a coworker. Pray for a neighbor right next door. So the idea here is I don't want you just praying for 5 relatives that live 1,000 miles away. I want you to identify different, I don't know if you'd call it demographics, but different groupings of people where you're going to select 2 relatives or close friends. You're going to pray for yourself. You're going to pray for 2 people in your community that you're going to pray for first and foremost, and 1 person you work with. Now, if it ends up being 2 people you work with and 1 person in the community, that's fine. God will forgive you for that. I'm kidding. We pray for 5 people in different areas, right? Not just those far away, but some near, and not just those right next door, but those in our own family. Relations as well. Okay, so think about that. The 2021 plan. And I want to encourage you this week to consider those 5 people, to consider those names. Lord, who would you have me to put on my 2021 plan? Who do you want me to pray for? Grab a notebook and you can write that 2021, maybe straight down the side of the page, and you can write the two names of relatives or close friends right at the top there. You can write yourself and your greatest fears. Just write them down there. Just write down there what you're afraid of. Write down there how empty you are and how much Jesus needs to fill you. Write it on there and ask for it. And pray for two community members. Pray for a neighbor or coworker. And so five people on the 2021 plan, I guess if you include yourself as the zero, you're praying for yourself as well. But five people that you're going to pray for their need for the Savior. All right? And there may be a case where you aren't sure about someone, but you're going to pray for them, that it would be made clear that you, and that you begin through prayer. And then we're going to talk about after that, what next, or on top of that, because we're going to keep praying. So I want you to identify those five individuals you're going to pray for. And you don't need to, it doesn't need to be publicized in any way necessarily, although it'd be good maybe to tell somebody, or I might ask you sometime, or just ask you if you've chosen your five or thought through that and selected who you're praying for, because I want to encourage you to be praying. I'm going to be choosing five. I'm going to be considering before God who those are, and I've got a few already that are on my mind for that. And if you're listening online this morning, I'm encouraging you to do this as well. Just because you're online doesn't mean you get a free pass. I want you to pray and select five people that you're going to pray for. And maybe you're listening online this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I want to encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus. I want you to reach out, and we would be glad to help you, because we want you to know that you're saved. It's something you can know, and it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. So thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your attention, and remember the 2021 plan. Five people to pray for. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we carry the wonderful message of Christ. We have this blessed hope, the peace that passes understanding, even in the greatest trials of life. Lord, I thank you for this, and help us to recognize your desire to make us fishers of men. Lord, one of the first places to start is in prayer. Prayer is so critical. And we can begin praying. Prayer is secret. It's private. And we can lift up from our hearts to you about the need of others and their soul. Lord, help us identify those that you would have us to pray for. These five individuals that we'll be praying for this year. Lord, I thank you for that. Help us to be used of you. We're just a bunch of big zeros, but you're everything. You must fill us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.